I am I'm in the middle of a bit of struggle of just accepting where I'm at in my life with my age and my gray hair and my non-Botox crinkles in my eyes, and like embracing that and feeling beautiful and sexy in that, with another part of me knowing that it would be so easy to just go back to coloring and hiding everything and really trying to feel young again. Today I'm doing a life update. I haven't done one of these in quite a while, and I have a lot of stuff to update you guys on. And I thought, what perfect timing. It's the spring. I feel like we're moving into this new energy. We're about to have an incredible full eclipse. And here in Arkansas, I'm actually in the path of the eclipse, which is pretty freaking cool. So like, there's a lot of stuff moving energetically. And I just thought I want to tell you guys that we're seeing someone new. Over the last several months, you've heard my story about Scott and I were dating someone. Well, we've been dating Steph now for a year, which A, that's super exciting. And B, we were dating a second woman for about 4 months. This was November through the holidays, through New Year's, through January. And then at the end of January, I guess early Feb, we got broken up via text message. And I did 3 separate episodes about it. The first one was why you might need a break in your relationship. Let me pull up the episode number so I can tell you what they are. That was, let's see, what are my episodes? That was episode number 128, Taking Breaks in Open Relationships. And then I came back in episode 130 to talk about why clear boundaries are kind and how we might have fucked up this relationship. And then I came back in episode 134 and talked about how we got dumped via text, how to consciously couple with someone, and maybe, you know, do it a little better next time around, because I don't feel like we were broken up with kindly. Anyway, we have clearly moved on and we are seeing someone new. And what's super exciting is last night was our first 3-way together. It was her first threesome ever and her first night with a woman. So between her and I think we both had quite a bit of anxiety where we were like, are we going to like each other? Is there going to be chemistry? It's so odd because it's so easy as a woman who is naturally, you know, straight or oriented towards men. It's so easy to find flirting, you know, easy to come by. It's easy to find that connection with a man. And it's almost like we're not taught in our society how to flirt with women. It's not the same. I don't know how to describe it, but it's not the same. I have had a few women that have been incredible at flirting and have been great sexters. And one in particular who was just fan-fucking-tastic. And I miss that. And I find when I was in relationship with men, it was really easy for me to get flirty with them and me to get sexy with them. But it's much more difficult for some reason with women. So anyway, we were both a little anxious about how would we connect. And I told Scott yesterday morning, I feel like tonight there's some kind of door in front of us and we're going to walk through the door and we're either going to know this is a relationship that the three of us want to pursue, or this is a relationship that's never going to get off the ground because it's not there. She decides she doesn't want to be the woman, or she decides she doesn't want to be the couple. Cause like, that's a lot. It's a lot to be with more than one person. So interestingly, I had actually just recorded episode 136, How to Have a 3-Way. And that is last week's episode. By the time you watch this, it will be the episode before last, but I did a newsletter on this morning and I was saying it's hard to explain what it's like when you have sex with more than one person. For me, it's like Christmas every time. And We ended up having a fantastic night with her. Oh my gosh. She was actually a little like she was the dominant one with me. Like I am very respectful with women. I think that's the problem is like I'm overly respectful and kind and nice and like, do I have your permission? Like nobody wants, I mean, a lot of people want that, but a lot of times I'm finding like in episode 137, nice guy syndrome, like I was having nice girl syndrome. I just needed to be maybe a little bit more dominant with her, but she took charge and we ended up kissing for hours and she got me off for the first time. She'd never been with a woman. She's never touched another woman's clit. She's never touched another woman's boobs. She'd kissed one girl like in junior high or high school or something. And she's a phenomenal kisser. We had so much fun. So we're all like wrapped in this sweaty heap afterwards. And I just start laughing and I'm like, this is the thing that I want to bottle up and try to explain to people how you feel in a sweaty heap after a threesome. It's different than sweaty heap one-on-one sex with someone else. Like, or what is that? Two-on-two? One-on-two? One-on-one? I don't know. There's two people. It's different. Like, A, there's more stimulation. B, a lot of times there's more orgasms because there's more people giving you orgasms, right? I don't know how to explain it. It's delicious for me. Like, I love it. I love group sex. I am an exhibitionist, but I'm also a voyeur. So I love to watch. I love to watch Scott with another woman. Like at one point we were on the couch and I had my little dog on the couch with me and he just wanted to be petted. And so I was facing both of them and Scott has his arms around her. I'm watching him as he's like caressing her and touching her and slowly his hands make his way down to her breasts. And her and I are drinking bourbon and she's just slowly like melting into him. And at one point they start making out in front of me and I'm like, oh my God. It's so fucking hot. And then to watch them like have sex with each other and penetration, I don't know how to explain what this does to my body, but it gets like extra turned on and extra tingly and extra wet watching him pleasure someone else and watching him be pleasured by someone else while I'm there. So one of the things I put in my newsletter this morning, I was like, do I get nervous? Fuck yes, I get nervous, but I'm not nervous, jealous. Do I get jealous? Yes, fuck yes, I get jealous. But I only feel the jealousy when I'm not feeling included or when I am feeling unsated. So let me explain this one. And this actually happened this weekend. So, backstory is Scott is about to graduate with an engineering degree, a mechanical engineering degree. I'm so proud of him and he's worked so hard for it. And he's been working almost every night for months. Like he'll come home or come to bed at 4 or 5 a.m., just absolutely exhausted. And so, I mean, can you blame him? Like he has not had a lot of extra energy to fuck me. And so, this particular last week, I had a fever for over a week. I was super sick. I think we had sex maybe once or twice, somewhere in between all of that. And we get home and we're gearing up for this weekend. And he's having to put in a bunch of extra hours, but I'm feeling like excited and my body feels good again. Like I'm. So we have this conversation. I want to say this was Saturday morning. Yeah. Because last night was Sunday. Whoever's listening to this is like, what day of the week is this? Saturday morning. We had some really great connective time. Let's see. I'm trying to remember my timeline. Was this Saturday, Sunday? Anyway, Sunday this weekend, him and I were sitting on his sofa in his office and we were just talking. And we used to do this all the time, but life has gotten so busy. And so it's been so incredibly hard for us to have connection. And so we were sitting there, and I had brought him some. I think this is Saturday morning. I had brought him some breakfast. Oh, I got my nails done. This is Saturday. I got him some quiche. We're sitting on the sofa. The quiche was terrible, by the way. But I brought him a coffee. And so we're just kind of drinking our coffee and chatting with each other about everything, everything under the sun. Like, him and I have a lot of differing opinions. And so it's really fun to like spar a little bit and be like, well, why do you feel that way? I'm like, that's archaic thinking. You realize that, right? And he's like, no, it's not. Blah, 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 blah. So we were having this great spar off. And somehow it led to our excitement about Sunday night and our three-way with a new person. And I said, you know, it really feels good to my nervous system when I come, like I walk into our new three-way or a three-way, even if we're with Steph, and I'm overflowing already. I have a really hard time when I'm hangry and needy and I haven't had your cock for days. And I was that way Saturday. I was feeling so much desire and so much need, and he was so depleted and so exhausted. Like at one point during our little mini vacation where we took the kids to Dallas this last week, we attempted to have sex and he was just so tired. He's like, I just can't. Like I'm trying. Like I want to be super hard for you, but like my body is not working, my mind is turned on. And so he used his fingers and he gave me like 8, 10 orgasms. I don't know, but it's not the same. Like, I don't know how to explain this either for me in my body. When I'm masturbating or he's using his fingers on me or we're using some kind of toy, it's like baby to medium level orgasms where you're like, fuck, this feels so good. But it's not the same as penetrative sex with your person where you're connected emotionally. You might even be crying because you're feeling so connected and so delicious and so desired and so turned on. And like he's fucking your brains out. And you're just like, you have one of those massive orgasms where your whole body goes limp and you can barely move. If not, just you're done. Like you're toast. I have not been able to achieve that solo or that. Maybe once or twice I have Scott with Scott's hands, but I bring all of me to sex, all of me, my heart, my mind, my body, all of it. And I am very sensitive. Like my body is very sensitive. I get off pretty easily. And so pulling me into that really deep climax where you're just limp and you can't move afterwards, like I crave that kind of fucking. And I needed that after being sick for a week. The attempt at having sex, which then was fantastic. I'm so glad he gave me those orgasms because it was like, you know, when you're dying of thirst and you get a few drops and you're like, oh my God, that's what I needed. Like, oh my God, that's what I needed in that moment. But then it's like it quickly passes. And then that like unsatiated need is still under the surface. The unsatiated need needs a hard, good fucking, or you end up limp. And that's what I needed. So back to the sofa and our coffees that we're having together. I'm telling him, I love when you fuck me so good a day or two before. Scott is also a man that likes to save up when we have three ways. So he needs a good day or two of not having sex with me. So there's this like happy medium of him giving me my last really good banging before he gets a day or two to like kind of hold it in. He was telling me yesterday after she left, he was like, I edged myself so much today to be ready for tonight. And then I was still exhausted. It was still difficult to perform as much as I wanted to. So I think each man as well, like has his own, how do I get ready to have either really long sex with my person or sex with multiple people? Like, this is not a 20-minute session, y'all. This is like hours of sex. And so for him, it's save it up, save my energy, save my chi, save my seed, like save all of that, because I'm going to need to go for a few hours kind of thing. I know other men that do other mindfuckery things, but anyway, this whole podcast is not supposed to be about the three-way, but I just wanted to tell you. Life update. We're seeing someone new. We had an amazing night. Scott did fuck my brains out the day before, and I felt so centered and like willing to give. Like, that's the position that I like to take, especially when we have a new person, is I'm like, I am here to blow your fucking mind when you're in my bed with me. Like, I want you to leave and want to come back. And I can't do that if I'm really hangry and I have to share my man's dick with you. But I can do that if I'm super filled up going into this situation and I still get some orgasms out of it, then I'm so happy to share my man's dick with you. Absolutely. In fact, let me help you. Let me help hold you while he fucks you. Happy to do that. Okay. So we talked about all of this. Fantastic. Again, if I just want to make a plug, if you're curious about how to have a three-way, listen to episode 136, How to Have a Three-Way. It's fantastic. It really is. I know I created it, but I'll walk you through how to ask, how to advertise that you're looking for a three-way, where to go. I walk you through what to do, how to set it up, how to get ready, how to make sure that you're connecting with your partner and partners during the three-way and you're communicating, like, how's it going? How are you feeling? Do you need more? Last night, several times I said, what do you need? What does your pussy need? Tell me what you need. And then at the end, I walk you through how to ask for another one. Because who wants to have a mind-blowing night and then never have another mind-blowing night? Like, you realize you can ask to have this frequently, right? Put it on the schedule. Okay. My next subject today. I want to talk about smut books. Do I have any with me? No, I don't have any with me. Okay. Nope. I was looking underneath my computer because I have a couple books stacked up. I went to a conference. It's called the Smut Lovers Conference. Steph and I went last year together. I think it was in the summer. And the lady that leads the Smut Lover Conference, her name is Nikki Rome. And she gives you like this huge swag bag when you go to this conference. And the conference is for smut authors. And what you learn in the conference is actual scenes, words for scenes, how to add BDSM and kink into your books in an accurate, real way. So during the conference, you know, we had our bag of all our cool stuff. There was like shibari rope, and someone came and taught us how to use it, taught us how to tie, taught us about how it felt and the different textures of the ropes. And then the authors go and use that in their stories. They might not use shibari at home with their partners, but they can then create a scene. There's knife play, needle play. Like, we sat through sessions of all of this stuff. What is it? How do you buy it? What are the different size needles? Like, if you're listening to this and it's freaking you out, don't worry, I'm not going to go very far into this other than it's really cool educational thing for people that want to write smut and want to write accurate portrayals of how to bring BDSM and kink into your books. I have only read Nora Roberts, who has amazing sex scenes in her books. And I have always, like, for the last 20 years, I've been reading Nora Roberts books. I got hooked on them when I worked at Walmart. One of my coworkers was really into Nora Roberts and her other alter ego, J.D. Robb. And there's, oh, such yummy sex scenes. But you have to read like 200 pages to get to the big triumphant sex scene. And then towards that last part of the book, there's like one or two more scenes and then it's over. I thought I was reading smut till I picked up one of the books. So Nikki Rome put one of her books in there. It's called Lust. There's like Lust, Envy, and I want to say Greed, but I can't remember if that's the third one. And it's this trilogy of these three friends who quote unquote become brothers, who in this particular series share a woman. So there's like a four-way going on and they're all in relationship together. And Nikki brings in BDSM and kink And each one of the men has a different kink. It's like one is knife play, which actually is surprisingly hot in the story. I've never done it. I don't know. I'm a little freaked out, but I loved listening to it and watched, like, not listening because I read it, but in my mind, I was like hearing the words. Anyway, one of them was into Shibari, and then the other one was into Dom Sub. So you get the same woman who you like fall in love with in this story because she's just precious, who's really open to trying new things. And each one of them has this like different one-on-one relationship with her. And then there's several scenes where there's this just delicious four-way. So for someone like me who's in an open relationship and I've never had a four-way, but I've had lots of three-ways, I am like, this is fucking hot shit. Like I have tasted the rainbow of erotica and I fucking like it and I want more of it. So I want to encourage you, if you have never read a smut book, even if you're a man, I know men that read smut, go check it out. Maybe start with Nikki Rome. Like, you know, she's doing things right if she leads a smut conference for smut writers. Like, start with her and then go from there and see what you like. I made it through three books in 1 week. Hot tip, if you buy the book on Amazon, you get the Kindle version for free. And I've literally read three books on my iPhone in 1 week, like so fast because it's so yummy. And then I gave the new girl that we're seeing, I gave her all three books and was like, go have fun with this. So she's got them now. And now I'm off to another series of Nikki's. So what I wanted to say about this, excuse me, is episode 137, which was last week's episode, it's called Nice Guy Syndrome. And what we learned from Veronica Amaya is we all think that we want a nice guy, but the nice guy gets friend zoned. What women truly desire, and I'm sure men as well, but what women truly desire is the masculine. We want someone to hold us. We want someone to hold a container, create a container. We want a man to step up and like make some fucking plans, like invite us on a date that's fully planned out that we don't have to make decisions on. And so I've been playing with this energy with Scott for quite a while, and I do talk about it within my episode with her, that my first husband was that toxic masculinity, and he still is. He hasn't changed. Like, I'm the boss, everyone's stupid. I know what's best. You can't handle money, so I'm gonna handle the money for us and like be in charge of everything. And I didn't trust him. He didn't feel safe. My second husband, I swung my pendulum the other way, and he was so safe and just was there, was present. And he created a container for me that felt safe to figure out who I was, and I got to be the boss. So, again, I talk about all of this in this episode, episode 137, Nice Guy Syndrome. What I have with Scott, as Veronica Amaya calls a fully integrated man, is someone who doesn't, he's not a pushover. There's a few times I tried to make him do things, and he was like, that's cute. No, I'm not fucking doing that. Like, you're not my mother. And even if you were, I don't have to do it. I'm a grown ass man. Like, there is no pushing Scott into anything. And so I remember the first time I got pushback from him, and he said, oh, that's cute. And I realized, whoa, I'm not the boss anymore. And I like it. I love that he has his own independent thought. I love that we're not one unit. Like, we're two very different people. And he holds this really beautiful container for me and for my kids that pushes us to more, to greater, that challenges the way that we think and makes us think about why we think the way we think, why we believe the way that we believe, why we vote the way that we vote. We as the collective we, but really I'm the one that's voting. And I realized that there's different phases within our life that we need the safety. We need the pushover. We need the guy that's just going to sit there because that feels really fucking safe. And we need that because we've had abuse. We've had trauma. And then there's a point where you're like, I'm going to spread my wings. I'm ready to fly. And I'm ready for the confrontation again. But I want it to be done out of love. I want to be challenged out of love. And because someone wants me to be better. And so I have this fully integrated man. So the reason I'm telling you about this is I realized as I'm reading these smut books, and again, I know this is a book, but it makes my panties wet when the lead character is dominant. When he says, I made us dinner plans. I'm going to come pick you up at 7. Be ready. Fuck yeah. You tell me to be ready, I'll be ready for you. Like, all I have to do is put some sexy clothes on and take a shower and smell delicious for you. I'm going to put some extra time and thought into what I wear and how I show up for you because I don't have to make the plans and figure out where we're going to eat. Make sure it fits into everybody's, you know, food likings and whatever. Like, there's something so yummy about a man that can make decisions. A man that doesn't roll over. And so, go check out episode 137, Nice Guy Syndrome, if this sounds yummy to you. Might also make your panties wet, too. All right. Other things I wanted to talk about. Scott's graduating soon, so I feel like I'm excited and that our lives are going to make another change. Had this big change last year leading up to August because I knew this was going to be Scott's hardest semester. I knew he was going to spend a ton of time at school. And this is our third year together. And the first 2 years were really hard for me during this second semester of school because he's so focused on finishing and graduating, making good grades and all of that. And it was really difficult on my nervous system. Well, not only that, but last August, my kids went back to school for the first time since COVID started. We kept them home during COVID. And then the third year, the boys were like, we love playing PS5. Can we just stay home another year? We don't want to have to wear masks at school. We don't have to worry about potentially having to do that again. Like, we just want to hang out in our underwear and play PS5. I was like, sure. So I got so used to, in 3 years, all my men being home with me. And my kids would come down at lunch and we would make food together. Like, we'd make these elaborate HelloFresh meals, or they'd cook lunch for me if I was on conference calls and then they'd bring it to me. It was wonderful. I loved it. So I had this like big jolting, wow, my life is going to change in August. This was this past August. Right now it is March. If you're listening to an old episode, March 2024. And I realized, because I'm so busy with my own life and my own business and this podcast and the recordings, and I didn't even really notice that they were gone. Like, then I had to go pick kids up from school, which I'm going to have to do in just a few minutes. But my life wasn't incredibly different. And I realized that the people in my life felt so full and had so much to share now because they had left. So I feel like we're about to enter into this new phase again of Scott going to work full time, and what will that look like, and what kind of fun conversations are we going to have when he comes home and he's like, oh, I worked on this nuclear reactor today, or like, I'm designing this drone for Walmart, or like whatever. I'm so excited about it. So that's a big thing happening in my life update episode here. My oldest has been driving, so he got his permit in January, and he takes the driving test in June. He's so cute. He was like, Mom, can you get on Amazon and order, you know, those little magnets that say student driver? I want you to have one on your car. I think people will be nicer to me. And so I ordered a 3-pack. So his dad has one. I have one. We have an extra for his new car that he'll get. Not new, but like new to him car. So moms and dads that are in the same space as me or a little bit before me, man, I am in it with this, like, feeling my children becoming so much more independent, realizing I only have a few more years with my oldest, He's having all these conversations with me, like, where do I want to go to college? And do I want to move to Japan? And oh, such a fun time in my life. And so I guess this last thing that's just life update stuff is, for a lot of you, you've been with me and my journey of growing my hair out gray. So if you're watching on Spotify or YouTube, you can tell I've got a good, I don't know, 3-4 inches now of gray. And we've been working it through my hair. I still have a lot of dark underneath, but I struggle. Like, part of the time, I'm like, I'm fucking rocking this shit. Like, it's sexy. I like it. I can embrace this. And then the other part, I'm like, I feel old. I've also stopped doing Botox. And so I'm like, I have wrinkles. I have gray hair. Holy fuck, I'm 40. And there's this small part of me that feels like, wow, I've lived 40 years on this planet. I have learned some things. I have been through some experiences. I deserve to have my gray hair and my wrinkles if I want to. And this weekend, I ended up getting my nails done. Like, I haven't done them in a year, but I got some dip put back on, and I was like, I all of a sudden feel so much more feminine. So there's this part of me that's like, what if I color my hair back dark? Am I gonna feel and look 20 again? I don't know. But I'm in the middle of a bit of struggle of just accepting where I'm at in my life with my age and my gray hair and my non-Botoxed crinkles in my eyes, and like embracing that and feeling beautiful and sexy in that, with another part of me knowing that it would be so easy to just go back to coloring and hiding everything and really trying to feel young again. So the last thing that I, well, actually I have two more little things. I have been working on a passion project. I talked about this on one other life update episode and I haven't released it, but I've been working on a passion project called No Longer Plastic. It is a one-seasoned podcast that I don't think will go past a season, but I wanted to do a little series with people that I could interview that were fully showing up authentically in their lives. It's this cross between, I have a retail podcast as well. I don't know if you guys know that, but it's called Bricks and Clicks Podcast. And that is really all about mostly Amazon. There's some Walmart stuff in there. I think I'm on season 3 over there on that. And it feels very stuffy to me. So and then I have this podcast where I talk about three ways and anal plugs. And I thought, is there a happy medium that I could do a project that I'm interviewing people who are fully integrated in their bodies and in their life and show the world that it's okay to fully be yourself? One of the most inspiring people to me so far on this planet has been Rachel Hollis. I don't know if you guys know Rachel Hollis. She wrote Girl, Wash Your Face amidst a bunch of other books that are in the self-help space. She has encouraged millions of women to be their best selves and to show up them fully authentically. Her husband, Dave, died shortly after they got divorced, but when the two of them were together, they showed us everything in their life. They had a big company together called the Hollis Company. They did huge events and like sold out these huge like 10,000 women events. She wrote lots of books, and they had this morning show on Facebook every morning. It was so much fun. I loved it. I think they called it the morning show. And they would just get on there like I am today and talk about life and talk about their sex and talk about their kids and talk about the business and talk about like all of it. And I looked at her and him and I thought, these are fully integrated humans. And I am so attracted to them because they're not hiding parts of themselves. They're not hiding their business life, or they're not hiding their personal life, or they're not hiding their children. And so I felt like I want to be like them. So I started living my life that way. And that's when this podcast really was born. Maybe a little bit before then, I started talking not only about business stuff, but about spirituality and living in the feminine and all the priestess work that I had been doing and crystals and retreats and So I started to become a little bit more woo in that space, in the retail space. So anyway, back to No Longer Plastic. This is my version of fully being a business owner and living a fully up, out front, no hiding kind of life. And I have just posted it. It's live. I'm going to put a link in the show notes in case you're interested in checking it out. It is nothing like the open bedroom. One person that I interviewed, I think just one, maybe two, are in an open relationship or in the swinger world or something. But everybody else is like fully, I'm a business person. I blew my life up. I sold everything I had and moved to Florida. Like I do this, I do that. And it's just really inspirational. So if you're looking for inspiration in your life, and you're looking to be more authentic in your human, in your person that you are, I want you to check out No Longer Plastic. As I said, it's just a one season podcast. I'll put the link below for you to see it if you'd like. Two things that I want to celebrate. I just got an email before I pushed record. I have had 125,000 views on YouTube. The YouTube channel continues to just organically grow. I love YouTube because my older episodes are really still trending. So lots on butt plugs. I don't know what's going on with YouTube, but they like the butt plugs. So lots of great yummy stuff. I'll put a link below as well if you're curious about my YouTube channel. If you are listening on like Apple Podcasts, I don't know if you know, everything is video. You're just listening to this by choice, but everything that I create is video. So lots of yummy video podcasts over on YouTube, as well as you can also watch on Spotify. And then one thing I didn't announce was we hit the 10,000 downloads on podcast platforms a few months ago. I'm currently over 12,000, but I'm growing at about 1,000 per month. And, you know, there's a part of me that's a little disappointed because I thought I'm going to grow so fast on podcast platforms. And that's going to be like, as a podcaster, podcast platforms are where you think you're going to have the most downloads. What's been true for me is I scaled pretty quickly on TikTok until I got shadow banned. So if you happen to find me on TikTok, I get like 25 views per video. It's so sad, where I had thousands. So I'm shadow banned on TikTok, but whatever. YouTube has just been an incredible platform for me. And so out of all my platforms, YouTube grows the fastest, followed by Instagram, followed by TikTok, then followed by podcast platforms. I don't really understand why that is, but anyway, 125,000 views on YouTube, 12,000 plus podcast downloads. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for writing a review. Thank you for giving me 5 stars, whatever it is that you do. I love showing up for you. I love sharing my life with you. I hope that I'm an inspiration in some way and that you feel empowered by the conversations that I have here, by the guests that I bring on. I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being in my world. See you next week. Hey there. Did you know that I do online coaching? Yes, I do online coaching in the sex and relationship space. Some of the topics that are near and dear to my heart are open relationships. So that includes polyamory, swinging, or what we call the lifestyle. I also love conversations around online dating. We're talking Bumble, Tinder, Field, and more. And then the last thing that's really passionate and close to my heart is conscious uncoupling. That means we get to break up with people with love and respect, with dignity and hope. We get to create a life for our children that gets to be a little bit different. We can do things better than we have in the past. So if any of these topics sound interesting to you and you'd love to get some coaching from me, check out the link in the show notes or the link in my bio for more information on coaching with Jen.